Hello everyone and welcome to the 20th ever episode of Jerry's the Unofficial Therapist. I'm your host, Jerry's the Unofficial Therapist. On today's episode, we'll be talking about where the House of Representatives and the Senate are on the possibility of a second stimulus package, the political drama between Candace Owens and Cardi B, and an update on the Breonna Taylor case. But before we get started, I do want to say that you all can become financial supporters of this show by going to anchor.fm/Tolson/support. Again, that is anchor.fm/Tolson/support. Now let's get into the show. The Senate rejected Republicans' latest coronavirus relief proposal Thursday, though Majority Leader Mitch McConnell may have strengthened their hand in bipartisan negotiations with a display of GOP unity. The vote to end debate on the roughly $650 billion package was 52-47, falling short of the necessary 60 votes. But McConnell was able to keep all but one of his 53-member conference on board, an important signal to Democratic leaders and White House officials to remain mired in a stalemate. Rand Paul for Kentucky was a sole GOP no vote. Leaders of both parties telegraphed for days that as drafted, the Senate GOP's skinny bill wouldn't pass. But after Republicans faced a loss of perhaps 20 votes on their own side for a $1.1 trillion package of bills McConnell unveiled in late July, Democrats repeatedly used the GOP in disarray talking point to take a hard line in negotiations. The vote also gives vulnerable Senate Republican incumbents something to point to on the campaign trail after the chamber recesses next month until after Election Day, if the parties can't work out a broader deal before then. Whether Senate Republicans would unify around the bill wasn't even clear as the vote neared on Thursday. We'll find out when the roll is called. That's what McConnell told reporters who were preparing him about whether he could muster a simple majority. In opening remarks before the vote, McConnell cast his move to bring up the package as a test for Democrats and said, should we at least vote to move forward and have this debate out in the open, or do our Democratic colleagues prefer to hide behind closed doors and refuse to help families before the election? McConnell said Americans are wondering if Washington Democrats really care more about hurting the president than helping them through the crisis. Democratic Senate Minority Leader Charles E. Schumer, in his rebuttal, reiterated his attack on the bill as emaciated. It lacks, among other things, housing assistance, nutrition assistance, aid to state and local governments, and funding to build out broadband connections that Democrats insist on. He said in a statement, it is one of the most cynical moves that he's seen, a fairly transparent attempt to show that Republicans are doing something when in fact they're doing nothing. House Democrats passed a $3.4 trillion package in May, but have since offered to meet the Senate GOP roughly halfway at $2.2 trillion. Top White House officials have hinted they might be willing to go as high as $1.5 trillion. The Senate vote Thursday, in which Republicans rallied around a bill with a net cost of around $300 billion after offsets, could solidify GOP opposition to anything more than what the Trump administration is willing to offer. Key features of the smaller GOP bill include a $300 boost in weekly unemployment insurance benefits through December 27th and a revamped Paycheck Protection Program offering a second draw of loans for hard-hit businesses. So what does all this mean? It means there is no stimulus, not for anyone or anything, any agency or any state, local government. Now, negotiations could continue, but they become less likely as we get closer to the election and the Senate goes on another recess October 12th and isn't scheduled to return until after November 6th. With the November 3rd presidential election coming up, Cardi B and politically conservative commentator Candace Owens have launched into a debate of their own. Owens went on the Ben Shapiro show on Sunday, September 6th, to discuss how the rapper's interview with Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden for Elle on August 17th was pandering to Black American voters by appealing to their music taste.
Say Kanye West, he's never really written about, like, go out, grab a gat, and just kill people. But unfortunately, today, that's the majority of what rap has become, right? And so I completely agree with your assessment about Cardi B. It is one of the biggest insults. If Black Americans are not insulted by the fact that Joe Biden, who has been hiding in his basement, for the entire year, made an appearance and came out because he was going to do an interview with Cardi B, do we have nothing better to offer? I mean, this would be akin to Donald Trump saying, I'm going to give no interviews, but he came up and he decided to give an interview to Justin Bieber. Right. I mean, Justin Bieber, I'm sorry. I know you are a Christian man. I don't even want to put you in the same boat as Cardi B. But it would be absurd. Right. White America would go, what is this? Why are you being interviewed by Justin Bieber? And it's because you're pandering. Right. You're pandering. You look at Cardi B's Instagram. You see she has millions of followers and you think, OK, this is an illiterate person. And if I appeal to this illiterate person and she does, oh, like she literally did in the middle of this interview, and they think she's cool, she's hip, just by sitting here and taking this interview, Black people will vote for me. It's basically saying, Black people, you are stupid. You are dumb and you're so foolish. I mean, do you think, what if she just said in the middle of the interview, Joe Biden, can you name one Cardi B album? You know, Joe Biden, do me a favor, just one Cardi B lyric. He couldn't do it. Of course he's not, because he's being handled and they're saying black people like this person. This is what they're into. And so here you go, talk to her. Same thing with Hillary Clinton when she went in the Breakfast Club and she said she had hot sauce in her bag, right? She didn't know what Beyonce's song that came from. One of her handlers said, say this, right? Probably got the questions ahead of time. Say this. Say you keep hot sauce in your bag. Right now, Beyonce's song is trending and it's hot sauce in my bag swag. And she looked like a fish out of water and said it. It is demeaning. It is pandering. It is ridiculous, okay? And she asked pointedly ridiculous questions. I want lower taxes, but I want universal health care for all. She had no idea what she was doing. And yet both Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden made the time to sit with her because they believe black people are stupid. And black people that thought, yay, that's a win. No, it's not a win. It shows you that they still believe that you are so stupid that they couldn't find many of the amazing intellectual black people that we have in the world to sit down with and ask them tough questions. Interview with Condoleezza Rice, right? An interview with Larry Elder. You know, even if you want somebody that is a Democrat, that's fine. There are way more intellectual black Democrats you could have sat down with, yet you chose an illiterate rapper, because that's what she is. She's illiterate.
But Cardi fought back on Twitter and Instagram with claims that is one of the hottest rappers, with a Billboard Hot 100 number one song titled WAP collaboration with Megan Thee Stallion last month. She had the right to use her platform to encourage her fans to vote and be politically active. The two fired back at each other on Twitter all Sunday night, with Cardi B sharing a video of her sister Hennessy Carolina and her girlfriend being harassed by Trump supporters because they are an Afro-Hispanic gay couple. The rapper spoke on the incident further on during an Instagram Live in response to Owen's The Ben Shapiro Show segment, saying, no matter how much money I make, no matter how hard I work, I can't be a free American. My sister can't be a free American. You got these Trump-supporting family harassing two lesbians. She went on saying, you're saying Joe Biden is pandering because he's using a popular figure like me. But your president, the guy who you love so much, he panders as well, too. I'm going to keep telling my millions of followers to vote until we can get your president out of here. And in an effort to have the last word, Owen filmed her own IG Live response video, saying, you continually keep saying you have a number one song, like it means something. Nobody cares about a song about your wet blank blank. Excuse my language for my followers. That has nothing to do with Black America and whether or not you are helping or hurting. She also listed demands for Cardi in her caption, including stop using your platform to call for more black deaths, stop lying about Trump, stop supporting Joe Biden, who supported segregation and the mass incarceration of black men. The following day, Owens declared herself as the champion of her feud with the Bodak Yellow rapper and decided to showcase her win on Twitter with a Michael Jordan meme captioned, I broke Cardi B. After one Twitter user supported Owens as the winner of the Twitter and Instagram battles by writing, she destroyed Cardi B, total body bag. Candace walked circles around her. Rip. The conservative commentator played along and tweeted to those asking, no, I was not invited to speak at Cardi B's funeral. Fox News political TV host Tucker Carlson brought Owens as a guest on his show to discuss her fiery feud with the rapper, which she stoked flames on TV once more, saying, I did not mean it as an insult to Cardi B. If anything, it was me calling out the DNC and the Democrats for insulting Black America by platforming her and her nonsense and her ignorance as someone viable to give a sound interview to Joe Biden. She said that while continuing to critique her as barely literate, saying she could not obviously argue with me from an intellectual standpoint. But the Grammy-winning artist and her Birdie Gang fan base pulled out all the stops by showing years worth of Owens' tweets that proved that she been knew that she was that girl. In 2018, Owens revealed she watched Cardi since her Love and Hip Hop days and believed that she would have similar freedom mindset as Kanye West. Cardi also retweeted a fan who pulled out the receipts from last July when the two argued about the artist's support for Bernie Sanders, in which Owens claimed to offer $250,000 to a charity of Cardi's choosing if she could publicly debate her stance to her or any other black conservative. Lastly, she posted an image of black Americans laying their hands on President Trump to exhibit the pandering Owens accused her of when she interviewed Biden in August. I would never praise no politician, not even Obama, FDR, or Bernie Sanders, only the Lord. This is how Trump panders with black people, while Candace concerns how Joe panders with me. That's what Cardi tweeted, ending the entire debate. Now on to a more serious subject. After almost 200 days since she was killed, a grand jury is expected to finally hear evidence in the case of Breonna Taylor. CNN reports that the grand jury will hear other cases first before eventually moving on to Taylor's case. Taylor was a 26-year-old black woman who was killed in her home on March 13th by Louisville Metro police officers executing a no-knock warrant. Protesters have taken place in Louisville as well as across the nation, demanding that the three officers who opened fire be arrested and charged for her death. The grand jury is expected to decide what, if any, charges these officers will face. Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron, who was appointed by Governor Andy Beshear in May to investigate the case, has pushed back against what he called conflicting rumors and reports on Twitter. He tweeted, "My office is continually asked about a timeline regarding the investigation into the death of Ms. Breonna Taylor. An investigation, if done properly, cannot follow a specific timeline." Following that tweet, he also tweeted out another tweet saying, "When the investigation concludes and a decision is made, we will provide an update and about an announcement. The news will come from our office and not unnamed sources. Until that time, the investigation remains ongoing." Cameron met with the Taylor family last month, and a representative for the family told CNN that he outlined the grand jury process for them during that meeting. On August 12th, at the meeting with the Tamika Palmer family, her lawyers with Cameron's office, Cameron told the family that once the FBI ballistic come back and they do re-interviews with witnesses, that his office will put the case in front of Jefferson County Grand Jury. Lenita Baker, the attorney representing Taylor's family in a wrongful death lawsuit, has said Cameron's office has not contacted or informed her of the details regarding the grand jury. Now, should the grand jury actually hear the case, this will be one of the first major steps towards justice for Taylor. In June, former officer Brett Hankinson was fired by the Louisville Metro Police Department 3 months after the shooting. Officer Miles Cosgrove and Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly, the other two officers involved in the shooting, are still employed by the Louisville Metro Police Department. But speaking about this, it reminds me of the election, which is November 3rd. We don't have that much time until then, and there are a lot of things that have to change before and after then. There are a lot of threats against the new widespread usage of mail-in voting, threats against Americans of color, threats against women's rights, and threats against the election altogether. But you all have the right and the chance and the option to do right. So I'm begging you to please do right and register to vote and check your registration status. You can do that at whenweallvote.org or vote.org. Lastly, I'll have some big news regarding my live election coverage this November. Now, I can't give up much information, but what I can say is I'm very excited. I will have numerous guests virtually with me throughout the night, and these guests will span across wide age ranges and political views. But with these guests, some will have pre-recorded segments while others will be live alongside me. But until then, we have two episodes left of this season and then my two-week hiatus. And then season three will go through the election. So until then, thank you all for listening.